Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Clear.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. The last thing Western New York needs is more snow, but it's getting it. And there's still a travel ban in Buffalo. The area is already buried under several feet of snow. John Thornton was among about 200 people who were stranded for 2 days at a Denny's restaurant east of Buffalo in Pembroke, New York.
There were families sleeping on tables, sleeping on, you know, three dining chairs, heads down on a table.
At least 27 deaths in Western New York have been attributed to the storm. Jackson, Mississippi is still under a boil water order. Its already beleaguered water system crippled by frozen pipes and decreasing water pressure. This woman is fed up.
The infrastructure concerning the water been bad like this for years. So it's no surprise that the water turned out like it did for Christmas.
FlightAware says today's cancellations are quickly approaching the 3,000 mark. The DOT is investigating why about half of yesterday's cancellations were on Southwest. The airline's Jay McVay says it was the storm, not staffing.
The fact that this one started west, swept east, and impacted almost every single one of our largest airports that put us in a position where we struggled to recover, and we struggled to get our flight crews and airplanes where they needed to be.
Health agencies say COVID, RSV, and flu cases are starting to decline, but pharmacies are running out of over-the-counter cold meds for kids. CBS's Carter Evans spoke with one doctor.
The manufacturers are still manufacturing these medicines as much as they always have been. We are just seeing unprecedented demand.
Dr. Sean O'Leary with the American Academy of Pediatrics says mild to moderate symptoms are not cause for alarm.
What are you telling parents that are calling you in a panic?
I would say don't panic. You know, this is not going to lead to any kind of a complication with your child. These are medicines simply to make your child more comfortable.
The White House says Texas Governor Greg Abbott put lives in danger when he sent more busloads of migrants to the vice president's home, leaving them in sub-freezing temperatures. More from CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
Tatiana Laborde says her migrant aid group was alerted by other nonprofits in Texas on Friday afternoon that the buses would arrive in Washington on Sunday. They came a day earlier.
There is a way to do what Texas is doing in a way that preserves that humanity, providing them with warm meals, letting us know when the buses are coming ahead of time.
Who wouldn't like to end the year with a big bankroll?
Let's see if I can make you a millionaire tonight.
Tonight's $565 million is only the sixth highest Mega Millions jackpot. I don't know anybody who'd turn that down. Do you? Didn't think so. S&P futures are up 26.5. This is CBS News.
Brought to you by Clear, a faster, easier way through airport security. Try today for 2 months free by visiting clearme.com/CBS22 or use code CBS22.
Hi, I'm Anthony Imparato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families now more than ever. For your home and in the field, there is a Henry that is right for you. We have over 200 Henry rifles and shotguns to choose from in a variety of calibers and finishes, all backed by our lifetime guarantee and my personal guarantee for your 100% satisfaction. You have my word that Henry Repeating Arms are made in America, always will be, or they won't be made at all. I invite you to visit henryusa.com to order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. That's henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang.
They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
540 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Tuesday, December 20th. Coming up this morning, the Packers win. Some people will say it keeps their slim playoff hopes alive. I'm not going to jinx it by even talking about that. See how I didn't even talk about it? Wisconsin Republicans made tremendous gains by creating and playing up divisions between rural and urban areas, and then rigging the maps to maximize that rural-urban imbalance. But the data shows that can't outlast the party's need to broaden its base and appeal and compete on real issues rather than, say, manufactured grievances. We're also going to look back at 2022 and the big themes covered by Governor Tony Evers earlier this year in his State of the State address to see whether the 2023 edition might sound awfully familiar to a legislature that has treated most of the past year as a paid vacation. And we'll get a visit at 7:50 from Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. If you want to reach the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Our phone number is 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Aaron Zommers is here. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Pat.
As often happens here, we are the morning after a primetime Packer game, and I don't know if you stayed up for most or all of it, or if the Packers' imaginary playoff chances were enough to have you not bother to stay up too late.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at. I just went to bed.
Yeah. I think, now the final was 24-12. I think I stayed up long enough to see the Rams get to that 12 mark and then said, that's plenty, that'll do. Especially given that I'm visiting from elsewhere and sitting here in the Eastern time zone this morning, that gets to look really late by the time I can't even imagine games that regularly go till almost midnight if you live out here in this particular time zone. But be that as it may, the Packers did win.
I don't mean to just be like a fair weather fan. You know, I know that. No. It can still be fun to watch the games. I just also know that I get up at 3:45.
Yeah, well, that's just it. See, my sports fandom can only take anybody so far. When you have it's one thing if it's, say, it's, you know, the seventh game of the World Series or something like that. But we're talking a regular season game near the end of the season, and yeah, there's no compelling stakes to really hurt yourself if you don't have to, especially when you've got, you know, a couple of handsome fellows like me and Aaron willing to tell you early in the morning what happened, to say to you that AJ Dillon ran for 2 touchdowns, looked like a human bulldozer. He had a great game. Aaron Rodgers threw a touchdown pass to Aaron Jones. This was all amid freezing conditions. The temperature was 15 degrees with a wind chill of 7. And just before the opening kickoff in that 24-12 victory over the LA Rams, again, there are technically playoff scenarios that exist. And I get that the Vikings won the other day. being down 33 points or something like that. And it was the biggest deficit overcome. So, you know, yeah, we're saying there's a chance. That's about all I'm going to say about that, because, again, it is just so ridiculously slim. And although the team was clicking better, you know, again, you still had Rodgers overthrowing a couple of times. You even had him talking about Monday Night Football, saying that, you know, when he was younger, you dream about playing on Monday nights. But, you know, he turned 39 earlier this month, and Rodgers said, quote, "When you're an older player, you want those noon games. So it's past my bedtime. I'm ready to go home and go to sleep." And while I appreciate the, you know, him being real about that, it also reminds us he's not the young gunslinger that he once was. But he did go 22 for 30, 229 yards, one touchdown, one interception. It is his ninth straight win on Monday Night Football, sneaking up on the longest streak by Kenny Stabler, who won 11 Monday night games in a row from 1975 to 1980. Also amongst milestones, Mason Crosby had a 34-yard field goal for Green Bay, playing in his 255th consecutive regular season game. And that ties him with Brett Favre for the longest streak in franchise history. So, assuming Mason Crosby plays in the next game when they visit Miami on Sunday, that will make Mason Crosby the new title holder for the most consecutive regular season games played in Green Bay Packer history. So the Packers, again, they go down to Miami next Sunday, and then their final two games are at Lambeau Field. They will host the Vikings and the Detroit Lions. And again, there's possibilities there. We'll just leave it at that. Over to basketball now. The Bucks beat the New Orleans Pelicans 128-119. Giannis had 42 points, 10 rebounds. Jrue Holiday capped an 18-point, 11-assist performance by hitting a three with a buck 17 to go so that the Bucks could hold off a late New Orleans surge to beat the Pelicans. Milwaukee has won 10 of its last 13 games. They're now 22-8 on the season, and they lead the NBA's Eastern Conference by a half game over Boston, and they will next be at Cleveland tomorrow on Wednesday night. So when we come back, we will take a look at the January 6th committee wrapping up its business with a public hearing that included criminal referrals for one Donald J. Trump. Is this finally the thing that causes him to face consequences? Again, like the Packers' playoff hopes, believe it when we see it. But we'll talk about it coming up on the other side of this break on Up North News Radio.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 23.
Southwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Partly cloudy again tonight. Lows around 20. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Highs around 37. Warmer Thursday and Friday with highs from the mid-40s to the upper 40s. Scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 7 above.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, there's a good chance you just heard your forecast, and on the live radio across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you were only paying half attention, I'm going to tell you again, pay attention next time it's up, because it is a serious, serious forecast for blizzard-like conditions. There are parts of the upper Midwest, it appears to be large parts of the upper Midwest, that are going to look like something out of one of those claymation, you know, Christmas animation cartoons where, you know, we need Rudolph's shiny nose. And there's a reason that some Christmas specials look that way, is because winter in Wisconsin gets that bad. And it apparently can be. It's only going to be a couple few inches of snow, you know, 4 to 8, maybe 6 to 10, depending on where you are. But then it starts blowing. And it's the blowing with, and it's not just blowing, you know, it's not blowing hot air. It's going to be blowing super cold air, bringing wind chills into that minus 25 to minus 40 range. And yes, this is absolutely going to wreak havoc on people's travel plans. And I'm not trying to sound alarmist, but we've all been on the roads. We have all seen people slide off the roads. If you have never been one of those people who has slid off the road into deep snow, into terrible conditions, and then has to wait for help. Now imagine doing that with the whole family in the car, with, you know, presents. Maybe you've got your hot dish, you know, ready that you're bringing over to, you know, Aunt Shirley's place, whatever the case may be. You should seriously rethink that, you know, either in terms of adjusting your time or adjusting your plans, because they are making it sound like it's going to be that bad on Thursday, Friday. Hopefully things can be salvaged for Saturday. But by the way, if they are salvaged for Saturday, it'll only be because of the work of the men and women at your county highway department and other agencies and other folks who are out and about in terrible conditions, moving this stuff around. I think of those plow drivers, the sand truck drivers, all that. Every time I think of, you know, Scott Walker's war on public sector workers, and yes, primarily it was a war on teachers, but it was on all the public employees who work for us. And I think, you know, Scott Walker not once put himself behind a snowplow in blizzard conditions to keep the roads safe for folks. And yet, you know, he and his ilk, who still control the legislature, have such a low opinion of the people who keep the roads clean for them. So I just want those folks to know that some of us do appreciate them, outwardly so, and will never hesitate to call out our appreciation. Phone numbers to reach us, 844-967-2789, 715-388-7155, or radio at upnorthnewswi.com. A reminder that on the upnorthnewswi.com website, you will find all kinds of new stories, including a nice piece by Christina Laurie about a woman who's making Wisconsin buildings brighter, building very large murals one at a time. Her latest is a 95-foot mural on the side of a school in Janesville. And she talks more to Christina about her biggest projects and the advice that she would give to aspiring artists. So something to make you feel good.
Wisconsin fans, it's Matza Matt for Brew Pub. Lots of matza pizza. Badger games are intense, high energy, and an experience like no other. Games like that need a high quality, go all four quarters frozen pizza, and you'll find that in a Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza. Loaded with the best meat and veggie toppings, then bombarded with over half a pound of award-winning Wisconsin mozzarella cheese, it's a top-tier pizza proud to support a top-tier program. So the next time you're visiting your favorite local grocery store and you're in the frozen pizza section, look for the pizza loaded with cheese, a Brew Pub Lots of Matza pizza.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Thursdays at 11:30, we are joined by Dr. Michael McCutcheon, who is a psychologist, a lecturer, and additionally, he's won 10,000 fantasy football leagues and loves to help people make easy, free money. Dr. Mike fixes your life and your lineup.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
They do set a notable precedent because with other impeachments, other downtimes in our country, Congress has never before referred a former president or a sitting president for criminal prosecution. But as was made clear yesterday again, no president has ever done what Donald Trump did. From George Washington on, you acknowledged that the basis of our democracy is rooted in free and fair elections and the peaceful transfer of power from those who lose elections. And then you regroup and you try to win the next election. You don't try to seize power. We don't do coups in this country until Donald Trump came along. It's the first time. Liz Cheney pointed out in her opening statement on Monday, Trump's decision was to watch the riot on television rather than take action to stop it. No man who would behave that way at that moment in time, she said, can ever serve in any position of authority in our nation again. He is unfit for office. Trump still has his supporters, of course. They are loud. They are colorful. But more importantly, I think for our case here, isn't that there are some people who are still fully devoted to Trump? It's that there are people who will use the people devoted to Trump to further their own careers. You know, the people who will tell you privately and sometimes not so privately that they think Trump is a clown. But since there are enough people in his tent in the circus, well, they're going to sell tickets over there, even though it does substantial damage to democracy. The evidence shows that there was, you know, an overriding, straightforward conclusion that the cause of January 6th was one man. It was Trump. And then many others followed him to various degrees. Committee member Jamie Raskin said the referrals were necessary given, quote, the magnitude of the crime against democracy. The committee has 4 lawyers on it. They worked to put together the potential criminal referrals and then presented them to the rest of the broader committee. The Justice Department declined to comment on the referrals. But again, there was a new special counsel on the case, Jack Smith. He recently sent subpoenas to officials in Wisconsin and elsewhere, asking for all correspondence with Trump and his campaign and his lawyers. Smith said in a statement that he would, quote, exercise independent judgment, which is fine. It's what you want. It's not like the committee is, you know, telling him what they want him to do, but merely making their own recommendations. The executive summary alone of the January 6th committee report is 150 pages. You know, normally an executive summary is a one pager, you know, maybe 3 paragraphs. The fact that the executive summary was 150 pages, you know, a booklet, just speaks to the volume of work done by the committee, the number of people they talked to, so that if and when they did make criminal referrals, there would be plenty of material behind them to make that case to a judge or to a jury. There's no lack of information. We see that. People who are in denial of it are, you know, frankly, and continuing to say, well, there's fraud there, you know, but there isn't. And they're going to, you know, they're going to say, are you going to believe me? Or are you going to believe your lying eyes? Because they still see some there that isn't there. That's fine. We have coddled that far too long. And it is far past time to take this information from the committee and elsewhere and put it to work. One of those examples deals with a point that Ron Johnson made about how he would not consider this an armed insurrection. Well, as we learned from the hearings over the summer, yes, it was. There were people spotted in the crowd with guns. It's in the radio chatter. It's in the video. There was presented in the reporting yesterday a previously unseen document from November of last year produced by the U.S. Capitol Police. It said Secret Service confiscated a haul of weapons from the 28,000 spectators who did pass through the magnetometers, 242 canisters of pepper spray, 269 knives or blades, 18 brass knuckles, 18 tasers, 6 pieces of body armor, 3 gas masks, 30 batons or blunt instruments, and then more than a dozen miscellaneous other items, scissors, screwdrivers, needles, things like that. And those are just the people that went through the security checkpoints, through the metal detectors. There were plenty more who had backpacks and weaponry that were seen outside. Now, the committee has pledged to make all of this evidence, all of its transcripts of its depositions, publicly available. And all of it, including the interviews, will show just what a conspiracy this was, where Trump set well ahead of Election Day the events in motion so that he could claim victory and not have to do just that most basic thing, concede you lost an election. Trump is one of those misguided souls who believes that the only path toward success is to never admit defeat, never apologize, never say you're wrong, never say you're sorry. Maybe that works as a fake real estate mogul in New York City. It doesn't work for the foundations of American democracy. And as a result, it has left our country in a place where far too many people, because of him, doubt some of the most basic elements of our society. They doubt the integrity of elections. They doubt the effectiveness of the COVID vaccine. They doubt the faith in public norms and institutions that have guided our country and have led to compromises and other agreements, other win. They've undermined the win-win. We've talked about that with the record state budget surplus. But on the whole, they have simply undermined the notion of cooperating so that both sides can win, because in Donald Trump's world, you win or you lose. And he took a big gamble that through sheer force of will, he could win. He lost. This report lays it out big time. And now we'll see if he finally pays the price for that. More after this on Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 5.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tightrope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game. They are bowl and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Hartle Monuments is honored to salute the men and women who continue to protect our precious freedoms. Hartle Monuments prides themselves in their veteran and civic memorials. Should you have a concept in mind or just need some guidance in finding the right memorial, Hartle Monuments will gently assist from concept to creation to installation. Let our experience show. Hartle Monuments, since 1901, still at 1915 Baker Drive, Wisconsin Rapids.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all, to have that smell linger through bathroom and hall. Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses. Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta-potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Say live and let die.
Did you know you can follow Up North News Radio as a podcast? You can subscribe at all the usual podcast sites like Apple or Spotify. Also do it at the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. And if you're not near your radio or not near one of our radio stations, you can listen live on the Civic Media app so that you can take Up North News Radio with you on your morning commute and listen to us live on the drive. You can call into the show toll-free anytime, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. We are going to talk next about whether... whether the Republican Party can evolve or die. And why do I say that? Because it's not just demographics that don't lie, but, you know, the maps don't lie either. And a nice analysis of the maps was recently done by Craig Gilbert in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And before I get to that, I should note, I mean, we hear a lot about how Democrats used to have a vast majority of voter support across rural and northern Wisconsin. And we hear all the time about how it's all but gone at the moment. But it needs to be said now just as forcefully that Republican support in the growing suburban communities of Wisconsin is just cratering. And Craig Gilbert uses Wauwatosa as an example, a Milwaukee suburb. Wauwatosa was won by Scott Walker in 2014 by 5 points. So Walker plus five in 2014. 4 years later, when he lost to Tony Evers, he lost Tosa by 6 points. It went from a plus five to a minus six. This time around, Tim Michaels lost it by 40 points. It went from plus five to minus six to minus 40. And that's not an isolated case. Gilbert goes on to talk about all kinds of other data. He used a database compiled by John Johnson, a research fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette Law School. It's a database that doesn't just look, you don't just get this county by, you know, county map. You see every one of Wisconsin's local units of government, more than 1,800 cities, towns, and villages, and how they voted in elections over time. We often talk about how there's a Democratic base, a Republican base, and then there are the, you know, so-called independents, the self-identified independents, which, again, you can never truly know, you know, are they independent? Do they strongly lean one way or the other, but they just don't want to say? They don't like having party identification. But we often talk about who captures those independents. Well, in the same way, we have a rural block and an urban block and a suburban block. And now suburban voters are the new independents. You know, the people that both parties are chasing most forcefully because Republicans have fairly well solidified their appeal in rural Wisconsin, Democrats across the largest cities. And now it's who's in these suburbs? Why are they trending Democratic? Well, because, again, in suburbs, at first when people moved there, they maybe considered themselves moving out to the country and people thought of it as more of a rural area. But as those suburban communities grow, the people there get that sense of community that they have to work together to solve the problems and chase the opportunities in their new hometown rather than as many people see it across rural America, you know, that rugged individualism, you know, of individual grievances, that government is some kind of a distant entity. In the suburbs, much like the cities, there's a growing sense of, no, wait, government isn't them. Government is us. What do we want to do? How do we want to solve things? That's my interpretation of what we're seeing in the suburbs. And, you know, Gilbert goes on to look at nearly 50 Milwaukee area suburbs and paints a picture of a voting shift of more than 20 points since Walker's victory in 2014. Some suburbs have seen shifts of 30 points or more, like we saw with Wauwatosa there. Every one of those suburban shifts has been away from the Republican Party. In places where, you know, the education level was higher, they've become bluer. The small rural areas have become redder, especially as they're being told that the higher educated folks are looking down on them when they're not. But it makes a very convenient talking point if you're trying to appeal to a group of people to somehow paint achievement in education as somehow elitist. Gilbert notes that the wild swings in the suburbs are simply too big to be attributed solely to people moving in and out of these places. The fact of the matter is voter preferences are changing. And they're changing for some reasons that are quite obvious. The Dobbs decision this year, for example, ripping away abortion rights. You also had just the existence of Donald Trump and all that he brought to politics, you know, up or down, depending on your point of view. But then you also have had now a decade of Republican action or inaction, as the case may be. The Republicans aren't the outsiders anymore. They've had a decade. And so any shortcomings that still exist that voters are noticing are now laid at the feet of Republicans who have controlled much of Wisconsin government for the past decade or so. They own Wisconsin's loss of professionals and young adults as they go to other states. And they're not going to be able to get people back running on ideas like cutting corporate taxes or even a flat tax, which is a gimmick more people are finally seeing through compared to years ago when it probably appealed to more folks. Rural Wisconsin is still very much in Republican hands right now, Gilbert writes. He examined the state's 1,200 towns. Those are those mostly square rural spaces that you see on almost every county map rather than the cities and the villages. When you look at the towns, and some people inaccurately refer to them as townships, myself included, because it's just sometimes it just falls out of your mouth that way. The townships or the towns, those account for 30% of the state's voters. So it's not a sliver of the electorate, but it is definitely a minority. In 2006, Gilbert writes, when Governor Jim Doyle was reelected, Republican challenger Mark Green carried all of the towns across Wisconsin by about a 5-point margin. 4 years later, in 2010, when Walker came into office, he carried those towns by 23 points. In 2014, the margin was 25 points. For Trump in both 2016 and 2020, he carried towns by about 25 points. And Ron Johnson made the margin nearly 30 points last month. But while in those towns, Republican support is solidified, there are simply fewer people all the time. Gilbert writes that in the communities where Republicans did better this year than 4 years ago, the average voter turnout was 620 people. In the communities where Democrats did better this year than 4 years ago, the average voter turnout was 3,000 votes compared to 620. So what does this mean? Well, unless you find a way to stem a decades-long decline in rural populations, Republicans are going to keep losing ground quite literally as voters who embrace living in villages and suburbs and cities choose Democrats and their ideas, again, because they're putting forth ideas. Republicans are moving lines around on a map, but their statewide numbers are suffering, and eventually they're going to run out of land to pad their dwindling arsenal of rural communities. They've made it this far because Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce and some billionaire friends have helped hold on to some seats, including, and maybe especially, the seats on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. But if the court flips back to members who have a bias toward justice rather than ideological power plays, Republicans are actually going to have to start showing up for work and proposing ideas, not just inventing and nurturing grievances. The data and the maps don't lie. Wisconsin Republicans need to evolve, or their party is simply going to die. And again, that's all thanks to an article that I would highly recommend in the Journal Sentinel from yesterday by Craig Gilbert, again, formerly of the Milwaukee Journal, who now does, what is his proper credit now these days? I want to get to it, but naturally, the that Journal Sentinel website, man, I'm telling you, there's a special place in you know where for the people that that designed it. Let's see. He is now a fellow with Marquette University's the Law School's Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education. Prior to that, he spent 35 years at the Journal Sentinel, 25 of them in the Washington Bureau. So he still writes for them while working as a fellow with Marquette University. One of the things I noticed in terms of, you know, whether Republicans are able to compete on ideas was a photo that somebody put up yesterday of a drop box. And it looks just like the one outside my town hall in Eagle Point up in Chippewa County, just a standalone thing, kind of like a mailbox. But I mean, you've all seen a drop box. And previously on drop boxes, you would see signage that says, "Do not put your ballot here. because, again, the state Supreme Court, out of thin air earlier this year, invented a reason to say that drop boxes were no longer legal for ballots. But the drop boxes are being used again for something else. On it now, it says payment drop. Place property tax payment here. And somebody put up a photo of it saying, remind me again why I can drop my property tax payment here, but not a ballot. And there isn't a good reason, of course. You talk to basically any clerk, and they will tell you about the work that they went through to perhaps purchase a good drop box, have it mounted properly and securely on a concrete pad. There's probably a security camera pointed at it right now because of safety rules or election security requirements. They're there. But again, this is what Republicans have been fighting against because of Trump and his assault both on elections and on the COVID pandemic, is that as people were taking the pandemic seriously and trying to make it easier to vote safely using a drop box, there was another party that was instead casting doubts on pandemic safeguards, outright fighting them in court, having them stripped away, fighting mail-in voting, fighting drop boxes, trying to purge voters from the voter rolls. And that might have been fine if there were other ideas to go along with it, but what were the ideas of this past year? Well, crime is running rampant and inflation is running rampant. Well, crime was never running rampant in most places. Most people in their surveys said they felt safe and secure in their daily lives. They said it was an issue to them, but again, only because that's the messages they were seeing. Inflation's on its way down, and we have not yet seen from the Republicans an actual plan on fighting crime. Instead, we're again hearing about, migrant caravans with, again, no solutions being proposed whatsoever. It's worth reminding one more time that we have some terrible weather coming our way, a storm that the exact track is far from certain, and you're going to see some unusual numbers on the maps. Again, bear in mind that those are ranges, and that the 6 to 10 inch band, might go along, just making something up here, go along Highway 29. But it turns out that by the time the storm gets here, the band of snow actually falls along, Highway 10 instead. So as you see these maps, please do not use them for anything other than a guideline and assume that you're not that far from a place where the worst possible weather scenario could happen with you, and take it easy. An update on your specific forecast is coming up, and more after this on Up North News Radio.
Doorman here. It has been brought to my attention, nobody knows we at DoorWorks also provide and professionally install storm doors. We offer Provia storm doors because they provide 16 different colors, smooth functionality, and durability. Some models have beveled glass and brass accents. Some provide additional light, ventilation, and protection from the elements, along with safety features like heavy-duty stainless steel screening. So call DoorWorks anytime, 424-5777, and tell them Doorman sent ya.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. And for the new year, we wish for you the best. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
X for Progressive Talk, from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Time for This Day in Music History. It was on this day in 1948, the birthday of Alan Parsons of the Alan Parsons Project. This is Sirius, a song that is kind of the prelude to Eye in the Sky. Parsons was born in London, started his music career as an assistant engineer at Abbey Road Studios. Not a bad way to get your resume going. He engineered Paul McCartney's Wildlife album, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon. So I think he knew a thing or two about it. But I mean, those of us of a certain age have to acknowledge that when we hear Sirius, that song right there, it feels like there's something missing. It feels like we should be watching the NBA on NBC and we should be hearing something more like this. Kind of more in line with where that song is always. And I have no idea if Alan Parsons is a Bulls fan or not. He'd better be, because it sure got him a lot of exposure over the years. I can still hear, you know, Michael Jordan's name being screamed out at the very end of it. All right, that was Alan Parsons, born in 1948. Let's go to 1962, where the Osmonds performed on the Andy Williams Show for the first time. The group only went up from there. At that point, Donnie wasn't old enough. Jimmy hadn't even been born yet. But you might want to look up this video. The boys still had a great stage presence, and they're very funny in this clip from the Andy Williams Show on December 20th, 1962. So that's it's not quite, you know, One Bad Apple or you know, Crazy Horses or the other things the Osmonds would later do, but you know, you got to start somewhere. 1969, Peter, Paul, and Mary had a number one single on this Christmas week, 1969, with this. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. All right, now it's time for my Peter, Paul, and Mary story. Aaron, Peter, Paul, and Mary includes Peter Yarrow. Peter Yarrow continues to sing and make appearances at places to this day. 10 years ago, in the waning weeks of my campaign for Congress, at the campaign headquarters in Wausau, we were getting a visit from Congressman Dave Obie. And Dave Obie brought along a friend, Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. And Dave played harmonica, and you know, Peter played guitar and sang a few songs for all of my campaign staff and supporters that were in the Wausau headquarters that day. So bet you wasn't expecting that I had a Peter, Paul, and Mary connection.
No, I was not.
It was on this day in 1973 that Bobby Darin passed away. At the age of only 37, after heart surgery, Bobby Darin was one of the first teen idols. He had Dream Lover as a number one single in 1959. Bobby Darin would eventually have 20 top 40 hits during the 1960s, including, of course, Mack the Knife that we played a couple of weeks back. Now let's have to 1986, where the Bengals had the number one song for 4 weeks with a song that will still get stuck in your head for an entire day if you let it. And then this final note on this day in music history, it was on December 20th, 2004, rather, that Paula Abdul clipped another car with her Mercedes, and then she drove off. She would later be formally charged with leaving the scene of an accident, and she would plead no contest to something she'd sung about years earlier. That poor girl's never going to let that down. If you sing about a hit and run, don't commit one yourself, or that clip will follow you till the day you die. I thought today was going to be a lot tougher after visiting one of our daughters and a couple of our grandkids. The one is 3 years old, and Aaron, your niece is 4 years old now, right? So I think this will kind of be in that same vein. We were expecting, because sometimes you get the very tearful goodbye, the, you don't go, and the big hugs and everything. But we thought, well, let's instead stick around and, tuck them into bed, and then we'll head out after that, or in this case, head out, the next morning. And sometimes the little kids do you a favor. They do the work for you. We'd run him ragged. We went swimming. We did all kinds of activities. And when he was ready for bed, man, he was ready for bed. We read a book, and then he wanted his mom to read him a book. And so he wanted us out of the bedroom. He shooed us away. He's like, bye, Grandma. Bye, Grandpa. Gives us this hug. And we're expecting something bigger and more teary. And he's like, bye, bye. Now, I know he's going to wake up this morning and wonder where the heck we are, but sometimes kids will actually help you with when it comes to the goodbye, going, yeah, okay, I got other things to do. Don't need you. Kind of like dropping off at daycare. It's all tearful at first, but then they don't want to leave. They're playing with their friends,
Yeah, it's definitely, kids are weird. They just, I know we've all been there, but it's so funny how sometimes they're super tired and they're just like, no, I am not going to bed. And other times they're somewhat tired and they're just like, okay, I don't care where I am right now. I am sleeping. And that's just how it is.
Oh yeah. And that would be the other one. The 9 month old, my wife was watching her yesterday while I was doing work for this show and for Up North News. And she sent a couple of pictures of the little one absolutely resisting taking a nap. And she takes a selfie with her, and I'm looking at the picture, and her eyes are just so tired, but she's got this defiant look like, I'm not falling asleep for you. I only fall asleep for my mommy, and eventually it took time. Eventually there was a picture of her asleep on my wife's shoulder, but they're stubborn, man. If they don't want to go to sleep, they're just not going to do it till they're good and ready.
Don't we do the same thing though? It'll be like, oh, I know I should go to bed, but I'm going to stay up and watch another episode of this show, or I'm going to watch the Packer game or whatever. But we really know, we just need to sleep.
Yes, God, without a doubt. And it's great because,
if you're talking, they will hear you.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear
you. You can do it. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.